everybody. Welcome back to the Covenant Eyes podcast. So good to have you joining us. We've got an amazing episode today. I'm really excited about today's guest. It's actually a guest that I heard on another podcast, so I had to swipe him away and bring him to you guys because I know this audience is going to love what he is going to be sharing with us today. And it is just powerful information that I think will help each and every one of us on our journey. So today's guest is Adam Lane Smith. Adam, welcome to the Covenant Eyes podcast. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me here. I am thrilled to be here. My priest was just talking about you guys in his homily a few weeks ago, and I got your email and said, "The Covenant Eyes." Oh, that's wonderful, because I have a special place in my heart for men who struggle with this temptation, especially married men who struggle with this temptation. It is it's an evil that is eating away at the heart of a lot of good marriages with good men who are falling into this temptation. So let's help them here today.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with just kind of an introduction to who you are and what you do for our listeners that are not familiar with your work.
Absolutely. I am Adam Lane Smith, the attachment specialist. I was a licensed marriage and family therapist for many, many years before I retired, just so that I can teach what's called attachment theory on the world stage. A practical view of what is attachment theory. It is the way that you learn as a child to connect with other people, to get your needs met, and how to feel loved and cared for in relationships. And a lot of guys who fall into temptations, the reason for that is your brain chemistry is off. You are on what we call the dopamine and cortisol pathway instead of the oxytocin serotonin pathway because of your relationships. And if you fix that, a lot of those temptations get so much easier. So there's a very practical application for psychology here today for any guys who want some relief.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, this is going to be a good conversation. So talk to us a little bit, because this is unique. It's not widespread. It's not actually something that's commonly talked about, attachment theory. Can you give us kind of a little primer on what that is? And for our listeners that aren't familiar with how that impacts them, like, what is it all about?
I am so glad you said that, because it is criminally misunderstood. Most psychotherapists don't even hear about attachment theory. We're taught in graduate schools that it's only for children. It doesn't matter for adults how you connect to give and receive love. It just is nothing. Don't worry about it. Let's worry about these diagnoses over here and medications, and that will be the answer, and then some talk therapy, which very rarely works for men. Men are looking for practical solutions and answers so that they can fix things. So attachment theory is something I have given my life to studying. I believe it is the core of our relationship with each other, with ourself, with the divine, everything. We need this relationship, and we are meant to thrive in this relationship. And our biology backs that up. So basic understandings. Your ability to connect with other people can get broken as a child based on if your parents were responsive to your needs, if they were chaotic, if they were smothering, if they fought, if they divorced, if they taught you love wasn't enough, if they taught you that you cannot trust other people. You can break in a number of ways. One is to split off and distrust other people, so you are isolated and alone. You may not be manipulative, some are, but you may just be alone and separated from other people, and you always feel like an alien in a world that is not accepting of you. You can also break in such a way that you become very approval-seeking, where you believe you are the problem, and you don't think anybody else will ever love you, and you think that you have to earn approval from others, and you're never allowed to ask for your needs to get met because nobody will care about you. There's also a way you can break in both ways, especially if you get hurt a lot over and over and over as a kid. You can actually have both, where you distrust yourself and you distrust other people. And what this does is it creates a brain chemical imbalance, as we all love hearing about, but the brain chemical imbalance is not something you're just born with. If you do not get a couple brain chemicals, one is called oxytocin. This is the love hormone. When your mother comforts you and loves you, and your father gives you a big hug, when you feel accepted and loved and your needs are taken care of, you get oxytocin. Or maybe you don't in childhood. If you get oxytocin, you get something called GABA. GABA. GABA is an inhibitory neurotransmitter. It shuts down stress. It shuts down cortisol. It makes you feel like people care about you, so you are safe. It also helps you sleep at night by releasing melatonin. There's another one called vasopressin. Vasopressin is the bonding chemical that releases when we work together to solve problems with other people. Men have more receptors for this than women do, but women do have receptors for it. And men need to be initiated into vasopressin bonding with other men to understand that they can solve problems with them. If you don't get that, you won't believe that you can solve problems with other men, so you think you have to do everything alone. Number four, good one, serotonin. This is your long-term fulfillment, right? This is long-term, that felt good and I should keep doing it. Our happiness is serotonin and oxytocin combined. I feel good and healthy and thriving, and I am loved by other people. That's the measurement of happiness for those chemicals. And the last one is dopamine. Now, this is the trouble right here. If you did not grow up in a family where your needs were met, if you felt alienated, if you felt unworthy, if you felt disconnected, your brain doesn't look like this. Your brain looks like this. Your brain is empty of all of those other chemicals, or largely empty of them, and you're on a dopamine pathway, which means you are heavily influenced by cortisol. You'll be stressed out a lot, and you'll be binging on dopamine to try to feel better. I'm stressed, dopamine. I'm sad, dopamine. I'm tired, dopamine, right? And this, I believe, is this is the mechanism for pornography addiction right here. Because if your brain is fulfilled, then if you scroll through social media and you hit a bad message or a bad picture, or you're tempted in the middle of the day, you just brush it aside and say, I'm going to go do anything else that makes me feel truly fulfilled. But when your brain is crushed under stress and misery, and you don't believe you can get your needs met in any way, dopamine is the only thing that you have left. It's like pounding a spoonful of sugar over and over and over. And that creates that cycle where you have to use it more and more and more, and you're going to crash later like a blood sugar crash. You're going to crash off that dopamine again. This is what I see with the dopamine issues and with pornography.
Wow. Yeah. And we see that all the time here at Covenant Eyes. It's really interesting you bring that up. And you also mentioned the triggers. I mean, we talk about that quite frequently, though. When we are low in all those other areas and we are seeking that dopamine, which we get from pornography, typically the triggers, we're anxious, we're stressed, we're hungry, we're tired. Those things lead us to that. So it's amazing how, you know, a lot of the research and a lot of the folks that we work with are on the peripheral of all of these things, but tying it all back to that attachment theory really makes a lot of sense from so many different perspectives. So what are the different, and you briefly mentioned this, but what are the different types of attachment issues that mm-hmm. we can have? And is it always caused by growing up in a broken family, or is it something that's a learned behavior from maybe like our adolescent years or bad relationships as adults? Like, how does it start?
Fantastic question. Let's take that in reverse order. How does it start? I've had coaching clients come in who say, Adam, I had a great family. I don't understand why I feel disconnected from everybody else. And I'll ask some questions. Were you in the NICU in the first 3 weeks of your life? Were you left to cry and cry and cry and didn't get that comfort? So your brain learned nobody else is going to take care of your needs, right? That's one way that attachment issues can start. And then your brain is terrified that no one will ever really care about you. And if your parents don't understand attachment theory, they won't know how to fix that as you're growing up. So you'll just be a little bit off and disconnected from other people. You'll be a little more self-contained. If you were in daycare way too early and for way too long, and then your daycare providers changed multiple times and mom had to go back to work, right? It's not mom's fault. But if that happened, you actually might have learned that nobody's going to take care of your needs. You're going to be dumped off with other strangers, that maybe you bonded with your first caregiver and then she switched, and then you bonded with the second one, she switched. So you experienced a tremendous amount of loss over and over and over as a small toddler. Even, right? Mm. It can be trauma. It can be your parents breaking up. It could be your parents staying together but fighting a lot. Mm. It can be your parents yelling at you a lot, right? These are consistent issues that come up and then they don't get resolved. And then if you head into your young years, it's usually will develop anxiety. Then you head into your teenage years and we see teenage depression all of a sudden coming out of nowhere. It is normal for teens to be horrifically, self-harmingly obsessed with pain and depression. No, that's not normal. That is not a normal piece. Mm-hmm. That is the culmination of anxious behaviors from attachment issues and learning that it doesn't matter how much you worry, you are still going to get hurt and you will still feel alone. Then we crash into depression in those teenage years, right? And then as we teenage years go on, sometimes we develop panic attacks. Sometimes we develop worse depression. Sometimes we develop alcohol issues or substance issues, pornography issues to feel better. Hey, if I just do this 3 times a day, I just start feeling better. Yeah, I'm running on fumes all the time, but man, it feels great. Slam a Mountain Dew, eat a cheeseburger, watch some pornography, right? That's a lot of guys right now in America just trying to cope and get through their daily life. So the attachment issue styles then. Guys are probably wondering, hey, is this me? Number one is what's called avoidant attachment. Avoidant attachment is that fundamental distrust of other people. It's not that you think other people are evil. You just think that other people are unreliable. You think that when the chips are down, other people are not going to come through for you, that your needs will be a burden to them. So you have to stay and keep everybody at arm's length. Right? Your self-esteem may not be low, but you probably don't love yourself because you violate your principles quite often just to appease other people, and you're constantly measuring other people's mood to see if you're safe or not. right? Very common for avoidant men to experience that. Some of them are massively high performers. Most of my executive coaching clients who come into me and work with me, avoidant men, very high functioning, very high performing, secret pornography issue, and they're on their third wife and their kids won't speak to them. Right. Yeah. Very, very common, but massively successful in business. So it can help you in a number of ways, but hold you back. The other style is anxious attachment style. Men who, it's called nice guy syndrome. Men who will do 10 nice things for you, desperately hoping that you will take care of their feelings. They form secret contracts with other people. They will give you the blood out of their veins if you even hint that you need some blood, right? They will give you all of the organs that they have. Oh, you want a kidney? Hold on, I got a pocket knife. And then they'll do that for you, but they are crushingly afraid of being abandoned, and they are perfectionists because they are fighting endlessly against the day that everybody else sees that they are a fraud, and they get rejected and turned against and abandoned in that way.
Wow. So
these are the attachment styles. There's also what we call the disorganized style, which is, again, the blend of the two. If you've been hurt repeatedly in childhood and you learned that one attachment issue was not enough, you'll form an armored layered defense where you push back against other people, but on the inside you have terrible weak self-esteem and you're always afraid that people will get too close and see who you are. So these are the attachment styles and that's how they form. And you can see, I mean, you can see, Karen, right, how this is going to lead directly into temptation issues.
Yes.
I believe this is the root cause of a lot of our modern struggle with sin and temptations and pornography and everything else, sugar addictions, everything addictions. This is why, is because we are primed right now to be weaker than we've ever been.
Wow, that's interesting. And I think, you know, it's, to me, we're designed, I mean, by God the Creator, to be in community and connection and healthy relationships with others. And you can even see throughout the Bible when there's dysfunction in relationships, how that progresses throughout the people's lives in the Bible. So, I mean, it's not like this is a new concept. I just think it's like new light being shed on the topic. Is that kind of fair to say?
Well, yes, and if I can speak to that really quick, I don't get to speak to my faith very often. I'm a more of a science platform, and I work with everybody from every side of every aisle. But in this regard, we are actually fundamentally created to need these brain chemicals. And when we have deep, immersive prayer with God and we experience that relationship, we do get that oxytocin, that serotonin, that GABA. It's interesting that those chemicals are released during really intense prayer where we feel that presence of God. It's a phenomenal experience, which is why some Christians will only feel better when they pray if their relationships with other people aren't on point. We are commanded, of course, to connect with other people. It is not good that man should be alone. Yes. And your brain chemistry gets vastly better when you have that connection with other people. But many people don't know how to do that. So they also don't know how to relate to God, right? We form our ability to relate to God by learning to relate to our parents first as caregivers. And then we map that onto God and understand how to connect. So a lot of avoidant men, again, high performing, very successful men, will be Christians, but they will think that God has a list of rules for them to follow. And that if they follow that list of rules, then God will uphold his side. And prayer is very not much required. It is simply a transactional sheet back and forth that you are required to follow your side. He will follow his side. Very little prayer, very little personal relationship. And I work with those men on, you know, do you think that that's the God of the Bible? Do you think that that's the God of this faith? If you were a father, how would you want your father to approach you? Would it be a transactional sheet without speaking, or would it be more of a relationship? And that blows them away, so they can start transforming that relationship and get those brain chemicals with God as they're meant to. Anxiously attached men, on the other side, are the ones who go to confession, you know, every single day because they, you know, I accidentally stepped on a crack. I think that offended God. I accidentally forgot to pray 9 times today, so I think I've offended God. I think God will forgive everybody on the planet except me because I somehow am just not worthy of forgiveness. I think he will tolerate me and let me live on the front doorstep of heaven and maybe throw me a scrap once in a while. These are the more anxiously attached men, so they struggle in their faith and in their relationship with God as well. We are designed to get these brain chemicals from God. And this is one reason I think biochemically, the closer we get to God, the stronger and more resilient we are against sin. It's a biochemical process through attachment theory and as well with other people in our life. We're designed for this.
Wow, that is incredible. And, you know, it's so interesting to me because we see that correlation. You know, one of the things that's really helpful when you're trying to address a pornography addiction is that, you know, you need to address all of these triggers, all of these things from our family. You know, we call it family of origin, but now with the attachment theory, this is all kind of linking together and making a lot more sense. But I just think it's really crazy because there's a study by Dr. Perry out of Oklahoma University, and it talked about how when we use pornography or engage in that, it actually draws us away from our relationship with God. It makes us not want to volunteer or get engaged at church. And just hearing you talk, I mean, it all makes sense now. I mean, this is all just, God designed us in a particular way to get those chemicals and to have that. And when we're struggling with attachment issues, we're not able to get that. So talk to me a little bit, because now I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can see some of these traits in myself. Like, are we all broken, or how many of us actually struggle with this, and how much of this is like affecting our population?
Now that is a fascinating question. And the answer is it will sound a bit alarmist, and I think that it needs to, but the answer is that the research seems to indicate that right now we are looking at about 50% of the population of America, 50% of the adults have attachment issues and don't know it, right? The research used to indicate in older generations, maybe 35% with 65% being more secure, and then 50% in our generation, right? The middle generations right there, Gen X and early millennials. And now what we're seeing in Gen Z actually is an increase over that. It's indicating that they may be 65% attachment issues and 35% secure. Ooh. So it is vastly increasing. The world does seem to be getting worse. And these are survival adaptations that are built into us for extreme environments where no one will care for us, right? Mm. 1,000 years ago, you're in England, the Danish Vikings sail up the coast, they burn your village to the ground, they carry you back to Denmark, you're now going to be there, you're going to have to be the proper term now is what, indentured servant. You're going to work there for the rest of your life, no one will care for you, you form these attachment issues to survive. And there are chemical adaptations for extreme environments. The fact that we are getting socially worse seems to indicate that our society is showing us that we are socially worse and that we are in unsafe environments. Our society itself is making us sick, and our society itself is drawing us further and further away from God. In association with that, right, we have the rise of dopamine binging, in essence. We have the rise of just take this pill, don't feel anything anymore. Mm-hmm. We have the rise of escapism, right? The average American now spends several years of their life on end investing in escapist entertainment. And that study was from before the pandemic. So that's increased. We are finding ways to escape from pain. And if you're in pain, it means that something is wrong. That's why we have pain receptors. That's what God gave us pain receptors for. The average life expectancy for somebody born without pain receptors is about 15 years old because their pain receptors keep them alive. Yes. So if you're in pain, that's a feeling. It's a sensor. It's data. If you're in pain, there's a better way to be living, right? The answer is to live in the way that God has constructed us, in peace and secure relationships with trustworthy individuals, with direct communication, with clear conflict resolution, with clear expectations and boundaries on the relationship, and a clear, easy method for getting everybody's needs met for mutual fulfillment. This sounds like an absolute utopian dream for most people hearing this probably, but this is called a secure attachment. This is what a secure attachment looks like. About 50%, maybe 35% now of adults have that.
Wow, that's interesting. So, wow, how is technology like fueling this problem? Because I have a son, he's, you know, early 20s, and, you know, his generation didn't have internet when they were born. I mean, they grew up without the internet, but when they hit middle school, my children both had exposure to internet. It came, you know, we didn't have cell phones or, you know, any of it in our house, but they had it at school. And then as they got older, they got exposed. But I can see in his generation, they don't know how to connect at all. They live their worlds in these online environments. Like, socially, they're very awkward when they're together in, you know, community. How is that fueling this attachment theory, you know, and giving these kids like weird, you know, like things happening in their lives?
Yeah. In 2007, when the first iPhone was released onto the market, they noticed a incredible, sudden increase in teenage depression rates, teenage loneliness rates, and spikes in impulse control issues. It's a dopamine box is what it is. You are holding a dopamine generator in your hand. Mm. The people who invent the apps, they actually hire people who work on things like gambling machines and casinos to keep you looped in. The sounds are specifically designed to make you do that. Yes. Even there's an interesting syndrome coming out where you will feel your phone buzz in your pocket and it won't have buzzed at all. You will simply have felt the phantom buzz, and then you tag in with a dopamine thing and say, well, I'm here, and you start binging on dopamine. So not only are the phones an escapist tactic for us to dive in and escape from that brain chemistry issue, right? But now they're feeding it even more, so it's saturating us with dopamine so that we are not looking for anything else. It's a false comfort that is going to stop people from then going out of their home and finding somebody else to connect with, right? Mm-hmm. You can sit, the average man now spends 2 hours a day on dating apps looking for a girlfriend. 2 hours a day, that is 14 hours per week. If he invested that in spending one extra hour after church or going to a small group and connecting with a network and not being lonely because he's connected with other men, and then putting out the word, hey, I'm looking for a wife or a girlfriend. Does anybody have a cousin, a daughter, a friend, anybody they could introduce me to? Keep your eyes open. This is how, back in 1995, 65% of people found their partner was through friends and family networks. Now it's 12%. 12% wow. Find their partner through family and friend networks combined, because they're sitting in their home desperately seeking and swiping, which turns human beings into dopamine commodities, where you're just sitting there swiping for the next human being as if you're shopping on Amazon. So again, it's pornography, strangely, and dating apps now seem to go hand in hand. Oh, I'll take that one. Oh, I'll try to sleep with that one. And then it becomes a game. How do I get her to sleep with me? What button leads to intercourse, right? And that's what a lot of guys are, it's not what they want, but that's what they're being programmed to now seek.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So talk to me a little bit about the work that you do. You do coaching, you have clients. Do you work with children or adults or both? And just talk to us a little bit about what that looks like in the practical sense.
I tend to work with everybody from 18 to 80. My oldest client came in at 80 years old and had lived a lifetime disconnected from other people. Aww. And very lonely and broken marriages, and said, I think it's too late. And I said, no, it's not. So we fixed it, and they built an incredible romantic relationship and a very fulfilling life. So it's never too late. I tend to work with people about 18 years old, just unless their parents want to sign off on getting them in early. It's coaching, so I have a little bit more freedom. I can help people as I choose. I used to do therapy for many years, and you're constricted by insurance. You're constricted by diagnoses. I don't like to diagnose anybody. I like people to come in and say, hey, look, here are the problems. Here's the skill gaps. Here's what you didn't learn. Let's just teach you these things. Then let me show you step by step exactly how to fix it. And it's incredible. Once people start building those relationships with other human beings and having those conversations and experiencing those brain chemicals every single day, the loneliness melts away. They aren't afraid of rejection anymore. When they learn how to trust other human beings, when they learn all of those things, it is phenomenal to see them transform. So yes, I have coaching. I have a mentorship program that runs for a whole year where people can work with me in 100 calls spread across a year. You pay a flat fee when you start up with me, and you can work with me inside the program. It's called the Attachment Circle. I also have, for those that love to learn through video, I have the Attachment Bootcamp video course that walks people through the 10 clear steps to go from that insecure attachment, whether you're anxious or avoidant, and you're disconnected and alienated and isolated from others, and the world is a scary place. 10 steps to go from that to connected with the right people and fulfilled and finding peace in your life, respect for yourself, and those great relationships that will make you very resilient against pornography temptations.
Wow, that's incredible. And we are all about that here at Covenant Eyes. Like, the, you know, our software is a tool. It's there to help you stop watching pornography and to give you guardrails. But the secret sauce of, you know, Covenant Eyes is the accountability. It's having a relationship with another person that can walk alongside you. And you can.
And I love that. And that's it. That's how it's supposed to click in together, right? Covenant Eyes is supposed to be there. It's those guardrails when you can't control your temptation. But then you need that accountability with somebody you can speak to and trust. And if you can't open up and speak to somebody to trust, if you can't say, hey, I have a problem and I would love to get your help on it, right? That vasopressin bonding that we talk about men need, that they need. And when you can't do that, then you are stuck forever just living with guardrails and desperately hoping you don't accidentally see something or you don't uninstall Covenant Eyes. I'm sure you see this. You don't uninstall Covenant Eyes for 5 minutes and then reinstall it and say it'll be okay. It was only 5 minutes, right? You don't do that when you have those fulfilling relationships.
Oh, gosh. There's going to be so many listeners of this program that are just desperate to get their hands on your program or connect with you directly. So where can we send listeners? Because I think this might be the secret missing sauce for so many people struggling with pornography addiction. They get the software, they get that, they have the desire, but they need help getting over those attachment issues. So tell our listeners where they can get the help they need with your resources and your programs.
Absolutely. So number one, you believed in my course so much that you've agreed to affiliate for it. So I believe that link will be down in the show notes. And if you use code EYES50, EYES50, you can take half off of that course. I want to make sure everybody has access to it. So it's very accessible. All of my products, all of my help is available on adamlanesmith.com. That's Lane, L-A-N-E, like a road, adamlanesmith.com. I'm also on YouTube as @attachmentadam. I'm also on Instagram as @attachmentadam. You'll find a tremendous number of resources there. You can DM me on Instagram. You can email me through my site. I am here to assist. I want to make men more resilient against this, because if every man who gets stronger, the world gets better.
That is so true. And let's also call out, you do work with women as well, because women actually are struggling with pornography, and that is a growing epidemic in this country. So I just want to make sure that our women can also get help. They can also learn about attachment theory and get coaching 100%. Services, right?
And that is such a great call out. Yes. So women are often that forgotten population who do struggle with pornography temptations.
Yeah.
Many times it is that dopamine cortisol pathway, but many of them have not experienced maybe a fulfilling intimate relationship with a partner who truly loves them, who truly cares for them, and then shares that emotional intimacy with them. That's what I have found women are really seeking, is the emotional intimacy that then culminates in a physical act. And the best sometimes that they know how to get is through that dopamine binge instead, when they're feeling very lonely. So building those relationships, just as vital for women, if not more so.
Awesome. All right. Well, listeners, we are going to put the links to this program in the show notes. So definitely check it out. You are going to get a 50% discount if you click on the link. It's incredible. I think this really is going to be beneficial to so many of our Covenant Eyes users who are just, they're doing all the right things, but they're still stuck. They can't get those relationship pieces, that accountability piece right. And this is going to probably open the doors wide open. Can you talk to me real quick in closing of today's podcast about maybe a success story or something, you know, that can give our listeners some hope of how this might really change their life?
It's going to be hard to pick which one, because I will say, when you fix your attachment, everything gets better for every person. I have never encountered a situation where somebody fixed their attachment and said, yeah, my life didn't get that much better. It's like, Adam, I had one gentleman come in, and he had just got out of the hospital in a 72-hour hold for self-harm. He was jobless. He had no girlfriend. His mom was angry at him, and he had a drug addiction. And he came in and said, Adam, I don't even know where to start. My life is a shambles, right? And I said, let me talk to you about relationships. Are you miserable enough to actually do the work? And he said, yes. And I said, then here are the conversations you need to have. And he went and had a conversation with his mother, reconciling fully. He found his morals and his principles. He started living to them. He started speaking to them out loud instead of just giving in to other people's and what they wanted him to do. Then he started really reconciling with the people in his life. And as he did, he found that they could accept him. He had never believed anyone would ever accept him. In the course of 30 days, he went from being out of the hospital on a self-harm hold and jobless and miserable and addicted, to where he said, Adam, my relationship with my family has never been better. I am actually happy. 30 days. I am actually happy for the first time in my life. I'm looking forward to getting a job, and my addiction is gone. I don't even want to do that stuff anymore, because I'm so happy in my relationships. If it could happen for that guy, it can happen for anybody who's higher functioning out there. You just have to want it enough.
Wow. All right. Well, that is a great way to bring today's episode to a close, with some hope. And also, listeners, take action. This could change your life, and we want to encourage you to check this out. Wow. Dr. Adam Lane Smith, this has been incredible. Thank you for your work. Thank you for pioneering this new concept that I think is going to bring so much revelation into people's lives. I love the fact that you're a man of faith as well, because behind all of it, there is that. And I think that's so important to so many Covenant Eyes users. We want to know that at the root of the program is a man who believes and honors God. So we are just so grateful to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to have you back again soon.
It has been an honor, and thank you for letting me help people.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of the Covenant Eyes podcast. We'll see you next time. Take care. God bless.